following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Thursdays on the Huge Show across Michigan are presented by Josh Garvey and his team at Dorn Mayhew. They're one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state. And Josh and his team are based in downtown Grand Rapids at the Dorn Mayhew West Michigan office. Thursdays on the Huge Show are presented by Dorn Mayhew. What's up, Michigan? It is time for another hour on the only syndicated statewide afternoon sports radio show. 19 stations strong for the one close to you. Go to thehugeshow.net. There you can also listen to the free stream weekdays between 3 and 6. And on the iHeart app, search The Huge Show, and you can listen anywhere in the world where you get mobile service. Inside this hour, Jeff Risden from DraftWire and LionsWire will join me. We'll look ahead to the draft. End of April in Detroit. Lions are one of the top teams in the NFL now. They're not paper Lions. They're legit. Too legit to quit. Are they Super Bowl ready, do you think?
I mean, they can be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no reason they can't be.
Yeah, when you look at what they've done this offseason, what they've added, what they can add at the end of the month from the draft in downtown Detroit, and other salary cap casualties, moves, free agents, the Jake Bates, the kicker with the Panthers, who knows? But do you believe? Because I think they are. I not just because of my Lions fandom.
Right.
But if Reynolds makes that catch, they win that game, I believe the hype on Vegas with the Lions Nation and the Lions in a Super Bowl, It would have felt like a home game. I think they win that thing. I do. They have the confidence because they beat Kansas City to start the season. I know we can't live in the rearview mirror, but you know what? The huge bus has a rearview mirror the size of a Vizio 40-inch TV.
That's a beautiful TV.
We got a new TV in studio, Superfly. He's to the installing app update phase, so I'm looking forward to watching the Lions kickoff game.
You might have to update on by then.
I'm looking forward. Hold on. It says, while you wait, see what's in the Vizio store.
This may take a few minutes.
It may take a few minutes. Projected date of installation where TV will be working. Oh, 8/14/2024. So that's actually in the middle of preseason.
Yeah, there might be a preseason game.
Yeah, you wonder why this TV cost $130 at Meijer. You wonder why. It does look good, though, doesn't it?
It's a very sharp TV.
Well, the last TV.
Well, it's a Vizio TV. It's not a sharp TV.
I'm not going to make comparisons, but the last TV we had, O.J. Simpson passed away, and God rest his soul, and the TV, which I heard from Tim Fagan from iHeart, runs West Michigan. This TV was used in the newsroom the day O.J. was in the white Ford Bronco with Al Collins. The same TV that died lasted that long. And ironically, I don't know if it's spiritual, but that TV died the same day O.J. did.
I just know that the first time I was in this studio was in 2013, and that TV was here.
It was here in the early 90s, too, over in the Wood Radio newsroom. All right, let's get to the draft. I know a ton of mocks at DraftWire, LionsWire. They're everywhere.
I got one formulating in my head as I was driving in today. That's how it works.
It just says, DraftWire, hello.
Yeah.
LionsWire, draft in Detroit. It's all about, because this draft has so much intrigue. It's real sexy at the top because of quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison Jr. You have stud offensive linemen, but the drama isn't there. The Bears are locked in on Caleb Williams. And, Jeff, we've talked since the offseason started, after the Lions were knocked out and the Super Bowl was over and we were looking ahead to Senior Bowl and Combine. I'm just not a Caleb Williams fan. I'm not. I don't see him as the overall number one pick. The Bears must think that he's the next Patrick Mahomes.
You know, I see a lot of draft analysts that I respect a lot and that have been good at their jobs for a long time who have like basically sold their soul for Caleb Williams, and I'm not there either.
Why is that happening?
I don't know. It's weird to me. He is in the pantheon of Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield as shorter, athletic, creative quarterbacks. Now, I will say I think that he has a better arm than both of those guys, and I think that Caleb is probably a little bit niftier of a runner once he gets into the open field than those guys. But as far as a quarterback, that's when you watched him at USC and you watched him at Oklahoma before that, you saw a whole lot of like a combination of Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield. Now, that's a good quarterback. Both those guys have won a lot of playoff games. Baker gets crapped on a lot. Guys won a lot. I think Caleb Williams can be good, but I don't see the generational talent for it. Just in terms of my own personal draft grades, he's lower than Joe Burrow. He's lower than C.J. Stroud. He's on par with Trevor Lawrence. Like, this is not... I see people talking about him as the next Steve Young. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, do you remember how good that guy was? I don't get it. I think
he's going to be a flop. That's my opinion.
It wouldn't shock me if
Justin
he was a
Fields
flop.
Is a better quarterback than he is.
They're more similar than Chicago fans would like to admit.
Williams is a better passer, not a better deep ball guy. Better passer, but the running, I don't get. Yeah. Why the Bears gave up on Justin Fields when they could have drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., and that could have been an unbelievable tandem. I don't get it, but...
Yeah, and the thing is that they also have that number nine pick, and that could have been J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, potentially. Like, would you rather have that, or would you rather have what they're going to get, which is, you know, Caleb Williams at number one, and it's going to be like Brock Bowers or Jared Verse or Roma Dunsey at number nine? I'd take the other one.
Yeah, because you're looking at most mocks have Williams and Daniels and McCarthy and May. Drake May for North Carolina, JJ yeah. for Michigan. Daniels, the most overrated Heisman winner ever at LSU. Didn't have any great games against quality teams. These four quarterbacks are going to go top five, top six. You could see movement like... Most mock drafts have the Vikings trying to trade up to make sure they want J.J. McCarthy. At least it seems that way for mock drafts, right?
We'll see. Just keep in mind that Josh McCown is their quarterback's coach, and he was Drake May's high school football coach. There's a connection there. The top four is I deviate a little bit from some of my colleagues. I think they're all in the top 10. I'm not sure about the top four or top five.
But you know the quarterback derby where people go chasing.
People do get crazy at it.
They want to make sure they get it, or somebody's going to trade up and say, we got our QB.
Yeah, and the problem is that there's a pretty substantial drop-off. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not fair. There's a perceived big drop-off between those four and the next group, which is Michael Penix Jr., who's got a massive laundry list of injuries, and he's almost as old as Hendon Hooker. And then Bo Nix, who was rotten at Auburn and resuscitated himself very well at Oregon, ran a great offense there, did a very good job in convincing me that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. But there's some questions about him, too. And if you're not getting those top four, you know, if you're Denver or if you're one of the odd teams out that needs a quarterback, then you're looking at weird things. And some of it's like, do the Giants, do they roll with Daniel Jones, or they try to get his replacement? Would they rather, you know, get a wide receiver in there to help out their team? You know, Denver, the Raiders could use a quarterback, but they don't necessarily have to have a quarterback. You know, that there's teams that are in that boat that those are the wild cards that we're looking at, because they could take a quarterback or they could take somebody else who's going to be more immediately contributing to their team.
Jeff Risden from DraftWire, LionsWire. Follow both on Twitter, Facebook, online, part of the USA Today Network. Joining us in studio talking about the draft here at the end of the month. J.J. McCarthy, since the combine, he became a conversation in that top eight originally, and now into that top three. Is he QB3 after Williams and Daniels? Some think Washington could be sitting on him as QB2. Your thoughts on J.J. McCarthy? Where does he fit in with that big four with Williams, Daniels, and May?
You know, I think he is going to be the third quarterback drafted. And I can't rule out that Washington would take him at two, although it's been pretty strong, convincing arguments made that they like Daniels. But we'll see. But McCarthy belongs in that group. I think he's going to be better than Drake May, and I know people in the NFL who will tell you that. The biggest thing is that he's coming from a system that prepared him for the NFL much more than the other guys did. It's the guy who came with he's used to a running game. He's used to a timing-based offense. He's used to understanding how to operate within the structure of the offense. That's something that Caleb Williams doesn't do. One of the things that I do like about Jaden Daniels is I think he did a pretty good job of doing that as well. Drake May, my God, he's all over the place. You never know what you're going to get out of him. With McCarthy, you know you've got a guy who at least can come in and be a good starter for you pretty quickly. He's smart. He's got leadership ability. People liked playing with him. That's not unimportant in the NFL. The fact that he played for a pro coach in a pro style offense, that means something. That's not something that a lot of these other guys can say that they can do. He's got athletic upside. The biggest question I have with him is, can he consistently sizzle that, you know, the 35 yard post route over top of a safety? Can he make those layered throws, like in between the robber linebacker who's dropping back and the safety closing from the top? Can he hit the tight end in that window? He did at Michigan sometimes. I was at a couple games last year where he missed some of those throws. That's going to be the difference between J.J. McCarthy being number 3 overall and number 8 or 10 or possibly 12 overall, I think, is as late as he's going to go. I would bet the under on that. Like, he's going to go top 10, top 8. Actually, 8's a poor divider, because that's the Atlanta Falcons. They just signed Kirk Cousins. They're not in the quarterback business. They're taking Dallas Turner from Alabama. I would bet money on that, if you can get odds on that at DraftKings or wherever. That's probably the match after Caleb Williams that I feel the most confident about. But McCarthy is certainly a very high end prospect. Just to go back to last year, he graded out better for me than Bryce Young did. And Bryce Young went number 1 last year.
So I'm looking at McCarthy, and I'm thinking there's no way the Vikings need a quarterback.
Absolutely, right? They do. Yeah, so Washington, you know, absolutely needs a quarterback.
And you mentioned
too,
with McCowan, so it's Drake May or JJ. It almost seems.
Yeah.
Whatever they can, if they have to move, I don't see them moving back down. And what I see for the Lions, again, another plus. Yeah, the draft is in Detroit. They went to the NFC Championship game. Great offseason. But in the NFC North, you're going to have Caleb Williams, more than likely, as a QB.
Yep.
And the Vikings drafting a future QB, a young guy they're going to need to get playing time.
Yep.
So it's almost going to be write-off years for the Bears and the Vikings, which helps the Lions.
It does.
In winning the NFC North. So you have the Packers, and you probably are in a position where you split with the Packers. And you win the NFC North.
Yeah, Green Bay is good. There's no question about
that. But they don't have a lot of depth. Lions are developing more depth.
They've quietly lost some things this offseason, too. Their secondary needs some work. Their offensive line needs some work. Like Detroit's, but I think Detroit is in better shape at both of those spots.
So, J.J. Beck, one final thought on the QB spot. What's the best spot for J.J. McCarthy, you think? A team where he will flourish with the coaches, with the franchise, with the talent around him? What is the best option right now? What team is the fit for J.J. McCarthy?
I like what Washington can do, because he's got receivers. He's got a number 1 in Terry McLaurin there already. Their offensive line is decent. They need a little bit of like youthful infusion there. Their starting tackles are both 33 years old. But he's not going to get killed if he goes in there. They do have a running game. They have a coach and a coaching staff that understands how to bring in a young quarterback. They've done it before. So I number 2, Washington Commanders would be a fun time for him. And they also, by the way, have a guy that can bridge if he's not quite ready. So he wouldn't have to start right away. But I think when you're picking a guy that high, he kind of has to start.
Yeah, but
right
think
away.
About the talent they have with the Vikings at receiver.
They do.
Right. Hawkinson will come back from the knee injury, and you've got Jefferson.
The other thing is their head coach was an NFL quarterback. Didn't play much, but he was an NFL quarterback.
You don't need J.J. haunting the Lions.
That would not go over well with a lot of this fan base. Don't.
And also, speaking of former, the 18 Michigan guys, a record were invited to the combine. Blake Corum, how high will he go? Where you would say when he's selected in this round, we'll just say round,
yeah,
that you wouldn't be shocked and say, you know what, that's the right round for him.
I think with the running backs in this group, and it's kind of a difficult to separate. I think he's probably going to go in the third or the fourth. And that's not necessarily indicative of his talent.
You know, Harbaugh has to be thinking about grabbing him.
I think the one guy that Harbaugh really wants from Michigan is Roman Wilson. And the Chargers' second-round pick, I am not wavering from making that projection.
They've lost a lot of talent because they had to because of salary cap, right?
They don't. You can probably not name their starting receivers. I don't have it in front of me. I can't name who they are. Because the guys who were there, they're gone. So
Quentin Johnson, right?
Quentin Johnson is there. He catches the ball most of the time.
Yeah, he's a coin flip Johnson.
Yeah.
half the time, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
He'll fit him perfectly with the Lions, NFC Championship game on key drives, big fourth down throws. Yeah, so I'm looking at the NFC North, and Bears have talent. Vikings have talent. Think about how well the Vikings played last year without Cousins. If Cousins would have been there, that would have been a war with the Lions. The Lions could have ended up as a wild card, right?
The Vikings have some pass rush needs. They have some secondary needs. They always have secondary needs. But I think we talked about this the last time I was in. They're going to be the best last place team in football next year. And that's... I mean, they could theoretically go 8-9, 9-8, and not sniff the postseason because of what's
in the division. Caleb Williams will be a bust. He will be
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say.
Well, bust will be.
I have a lot of concerns about him.
If you're overall number one, I think you need to be a stud. Stafford, you need to be Manning, you do. And here's another thing about all these mock drafts and the draft talk and the draft at the end of the month in Detroit. Jeff Risden, DraftWire, LionsWire, follow those on Facebook, Twitter, online, part of the USA Today Network in studio with us talking about the draft. Marvin Harrison Jr., nobody talks about him. Nobody talks about that guy. And that's
because he didn't work out at the combine. He didn't even do a media session at the combine, which rubbed me the wrong way, as well a lot of my colleagues. He also didn't work out at the Ohio State Pro Day. He hasn't taken private visits anywhere. He's doing his own thing. He's like, y'all know who I am. You know my dad. I'm good. Come get me.
Is he hiding something?
I don't think so. I just think that he just didn't want to play ball.
And he knows he's not in the quarterback derby.
He knows he's going
to Arizona. It's almost a...
I would think so.
Because if it's not Arizona, then I think it would have to be the Giants. They could use a stud receiver.
God, yes.
Right, it would have to be.
They need that worse than any team needs.
If it's not Arizona at four, then the Giants are at, what, six?
They're at six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's with the Chargers at five, and the Chargers could use them. So there's been a lot of talk with the internet draft community.
Yeah, Harbaugh coming out of the box with the Ohio State guy.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But, there's people that are like, oh, Malik Nabers, he could be the first receiver taken. Romo Dunsey.
Do you think Harbaugh did dump on Allen and Williams, thinking that they're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I don't think he's that sold on that. I think he likes his receiving class. I think he knows he can get a guy like Roman Wilson that he trusts. I think he knows that he can get...
Well, they were hostage to the salary cap, the Chargers.
They were. Their prior regime made a lot of terrible decisions, and they had to pay for it. I still think that knowing Harbaugh, and if he wants to recreate Michigan in Los Angeles, what's Michigan got? Offensive linemen. How many? They had, what, six offensive linemen at the combine this year? Not all of them are going to – I don't think any of them get drafted before Zinter, who's probably going to go in the third or the fourth, but just because of his broken leg. But, Joe Alt is really good. The guy from Notre Dame, they played against him. If you go back and you watch Notre Dame against Michigan, Joe Alt handled business really well. I can see Harbaugh wanting to build that up. Look, they've already got Rashawn Slater, who was in the same draft as Penei Sewell. They were both very high-end prospects, and they've both become very good NFL players. I can see Harbaugh wanting to have that bookend thing. Let Justin Herbert get back there and throw to whoever he can. That's a great way for them to go. They have other needs too. They need pass rush help. They need, because all their pass rushers got old all at the same time. But, you know, Joe Ault is a pretty easy projection for them if they don't get a, if Marvin Harrison's there, you got to take him if you're Jim Harbaugh. You have to. You can't worry about the college allegiances.
I don't see
you
with Kyler Murray. Arizona needs Marvin Harrison. That seems like the biggest lock right now, along with Caleb Williams at one, that Marvin Harrison Jr. is at four. Unless somebody comes knocking for one of those quarterbacks and they're paranoid, or at Denver or somebody tries to jump in, right?
And Denver could do that. They have some wiggle room. You know, Minnesota is going to come up. There's talk that the Saints might try to get up. I don't know whether that's going to go or not, but just one thing with the Harrison to Arizona thing, when you do prop betting for the draft, you're betting on the player and the draft pick number, not the team. But if you go one, Caleb Williams, it's a stupid bet. It's like a 10,000. You have to bet 10,000 to win 100. With the only other one where you would lose, like you have to bet more than you would win, with the negative, that's a negative number in front of the odds for it, is Marvin Harrison being the number four pick. You have to bet, I think it's $250 to win 100 on that at sportsbooks. So that tells you that most people think that he's going there. At least the people whose lives depend on making money off the draft think that he's going number four. So
yeah, so do I. Out of those 18 Michigan football players, a record that were invited to the NFL Combine, how many get drafted?
I think 12 or 13 do.
And the highest, obviously, will be McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy will be high. Wilson's going to be high.
You think Wilson's a second rounder?
Yeah, I do. Wow. I actually think he could sneak into the back end of the first round with the way he operates is exactly
what. What if he's sitting there for the Lions at 29? Would they look at Roman Wilson? He's not that tall.
I don't think so.
He's not the tall possession receiver we talked about earlier.
I think that they think that he's similar to a guy like Luke McCaffrey that they can get later. Or there's a ton of guys. The dude Jamari Thrash from Louisville is the same kind of guy. There's a lot of those guys. That's why I think he'll bubble down in the second. But Corum's going to go. Zinter will probably go on day two. Towards the end, and then you're getting Junior Colson will be probably third round pick, a linebacker, got a lot of talent. Chris Jenkins, I'll tell you what, as somebody who does mock drafts kind of for a living, guy's impossible to slot because I can see him going 30. I can see him going 90. Like, I don't know where he's going. And to be honest, I don't think he has a good idea from where he's going. He did not go to the Lions local pro day, which was sort of interesting to me. Cornelius Johnson's another one. I think he could sneak into the bottom of the third round.
Really?
I also think he could go in the sixth or the seventh round.
Or that low.
Yeah, because you just don't know with some of those guys. And, you know, again, because Michigan has so many players, like, it's like, okay, well, is he good because he was surrounded by all these good players? Or was he good on his own right? And that happens to Alabama players every year. That's why you get guys. If you go back in Lions timeline, when they got A'shaun Robinson, and I think he was number 54 in the second round, like he was a top 30 prospect on a lot of big boards. But like, okay, well, he played next to like everybody he played with is in the NFL. Like, how good was he? And I think this Michigan group is approaching that range where like the quality of depth of talent on that team almost hurts them in the draft, which is a testament to how good that football team was.
And that's usually things that you would see with Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia's, the Oklahoma's back in the day. And that's what the Michigan fans wanted when they hired Harbaugh.
And they got it.
And he delivered, and he's off to the Chargers. Yeah. A lot to get to when it comes to the draft at the end of the month. Jeff Risden, Lions Wire, Draft Wire. Follow both on Twitter, Facebook, online, part of the USA Today Network. Jeff in studio with us. If you have a Lions or draft comment, you can drop it at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, and also on the Roast Umber Coffee text chain. Text HUGE to 21,000. That's HUGE to 21,000. And don't forget about our NFL Draft Night First Round Bash, the 313 party with David Gregory, the NFL PA certified agent, and Bull Rush Sports. We'll be at the world-famous Caucus Club in downtown Detroit. It's a private event. We'll be giving away some VIP wristbands before the draft. Be listening to The Huge Show. And special thanks to Matt Golden and his team from the Tullymore Golf Resort, one of the presenting sponsors of our 313 party in Detroit, Coppercraft Distillery, serving up Honolulu Blue, blue raspberry and lemonade in that Honolulu Blue and silver can in stores all across Michigan for those 21 and up. And also ask your local bar, pub, or restaurant if they have Honolulu Blue. And Josh Garvey and his team at Dorn Mayhew. They're one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Josh heads up the Grand Rapids office for Dorn Mayhew. All presenting sponsors with Marty Board, the Michigan Sports Network, for the 313 Draft Night Bash with Bull Rush Sports at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit. Be listening to the Huge Show for your chance to score VIP bracelets.
From Detroit to Petoskey, this show is huge.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino.
Motley Crue. Yeah, the Crue.
Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com.
Party hard and take a ride on the wild side.
Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Bill Simonson here for Flying Ace Craft Spirits. You can chart your own course with small batch American-made whiskeys. And also, they're connected to Folds of Honor here in Michigan, providing 4 scholarships this year through Flying Ace Craft Spirits to the children of men and women injured or killed in combat. Look for Flying Ace Craft Spirits and that small batch American-made whiskeys in different flavors at local stores, or ask for it at your local pub, bar, or restaurant. Flying Ace exists at the intersection of independence and precision. They distill fine spirits for mavericks, the adventurous, the cunning, and the bold. You can find out more and also order online if you're 21 and up at flyingacespirits.com. Or look for it in stores all across Michigan or at your local bar, pub, or restaurant.
Imagine this, winning big at Soaring Eagle. The food district is now open. There's something for everyone, from Bubba Coo's burritos to Bonanno's New York Pizza Kitchen to Guy Fieri's chicken and Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches. Savor every delicious flavor at the all-new food district. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, your getaway, reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back on The Huge Show across Michigan. Superfly Hayes is our executive producer. Jeff Risden from DraftWire, Lions Wire. Follow both on Facebook, Twitter, online. Part of the USA Today Network joining us this hour talking about the Lions, the draft at the end of the month in downtown Detroit. And Jeff, we mentioned the targeted positions, O-line, edge rusher, DB, corners to be exact.
Yeah,
would be in that mix along with a possession receiver. From a pool of names you can list for those listening that you think, whether it's first round, last round, that when that draft is over in Detroit, some of these names could be Detroit Lions players.
Yeah, let's look at the guys that are the usual suspects at 29. A guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, center from Oregon. He won the Remington Award as the best center in the country in 2023. In 2022, he was the best offensive lineman in the Pac-12 playing guard. You better believe that the Lions have some interest in him. He's a guy that would certainly fit. He may or may not be there. There's a lot of talk that the Rams like him, that the Dolphins like him, that the Steelers like him. So we'll see on that. But he's certainly a guy that you would need to know. And he's a good one. He would be one that I would be very happy to land in Detroit. When I put out my what I will do mock draft, there's a fair chance that if he's on the board, he will be my pick there. I haven't finished that part yet, but he's certainly very high up. And again, this is a guy who can play guard or center. They need that. When they have had their backup guard or center play more than half the snaps in each of the last 2 years. So that's a need. You know, guys like Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa, just had a private pro day this week to show that he was healthy after he had broken his leg.
Well, that guy's a great athlete.
He's a tremendous athlete.
And I heard his pro day workout was amazing.
Yeah, he is a very good performer. And another guy, he can play outside corner. He can play free safety. He can play slot. He's kind of like Brian Branch, and you can never have too many of those guys in the secondary because they can do so many different good things for you. He's big. He can go play the ball, too. And I think that's something that the Lions are looking for in their outside corners is they want guys that have ball skills. Kool-Aid McKinstry, another guy. Aggressive, in your face, press man corner. I'm not personally that high on him. There are things that to his game that don't appeal to me, but he's no question he's good and would fit schematically what Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell want to do. His teammate, Terrion Arnold, is a better player. And he's a guy that if their Lions are looking to move up and they want that top corner, it's either him or Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Either of those guys would be phenomenal if they're trading up. And I do think that that's probably the only position they would be trading up for. Man, that would be fun. I would love those guys. Wide receivers, Brian Thomas out of LSU. We talked about him a little bit earlier in the show today. Fantastic talent, sort of gets overshadowed a little bit. Because he's at LSU and, you know, they got so much going on with Malik Nabers running opposite him. But it's sort of like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Like, they're both good in their own right. I think Thomas can be that. Xavier Leggett, we talked about him out of South Carolina. I think first round's a little early for him, but second round, if he's there, that's a guy I want, man. I want him in a Lions uniform. Really good player. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Ennis Rakestraw out of Missouri are a couple of cornerbacks that get buzzed to the Lions a lot that I don't personally see them having that appeal, but we'll see. Rakestraw fits in terms of what he does on the field, but there's some injury concerns with him and some speed concerns with him. He's not a guy who's going to be able to turn and run. You know, we did not like Cam Sutton as a player because he couldn't turn and run with the fastest receivers, and Rakestraw can't do that either. So I think that would be one that, you know, even though he's got a lot of Lions buzz, I'm not sure that I see the fit as an upgrade in that one. Let's see who else here. Jordan Morgan is a guy. I put him in the last mock draft. Offensive tackle out of Arizona who can probably project better to playing guard. But if you're looking at, let's look at your game day lineup. You're allowed 7 or 8 offensive linemen. Your 5 starters are set. So you need guys that can play multiple spots coming in. There's a guy who can be your backup left tackle. He can be your backup right guard if you need him to be, with upside to start at either of those in time if you need it. I like Jordan Morgan a lot, aside from the fact that he has got the most incredible tattoos on his legs. He is a horror movie aficionado. He has like Freddy Krueger and Jason and Michael Myers, like beautiful tattoos on his legs. That hooked me in, man. Even though I'm not a horror guy, like I love good tattoos. He's got that, so that's a selling point for me. It's like we were talking in the break. Sam Hartman, Notre Dame quarterback. I don't think he's a very good player, but dang, man, his hair is like worthy of drafting just so I can look at him in the locker room. The Lions aren't taking a quarterback, by the way. I would be flabbergasted if they did. When they brought Nate Sudfeld back, they took him away.
Well, that's probably that. Quarterback, linebacker are.
Linebacker, they're so deep.
Right, yeah. So I'm thinking where you won't see
running back
drafted.
Too. Yeah.
Could they draft a kicker and understand their their faults and their playoff needs?
I still think that no matter who their kicker is, Dan Campbell still isn't going to use them. And he and Dave Phipp have both intimated at that in the past. When I talked to Dave Phipp last summer, he's like, you know, it doesn't really matter because if it's a 44-yard field goal, we're probably going to go for it unless it's like a game-winning situation. So, in general, I am very against the concept of drafting kickers or punters or long snappers. And in general, that plays out pretty well. If they bring in a kicker at the end, if it's not Bates from the Michigan Panthers, if they bring in Josh Cardy from Stanford or Will Reichard from Alabama with their last pick, I'm not going to be thrilled about it. I'm not going to be upset. Like, it's competition. They need it. It is a position of need. They do need safeties, too. And I think that's one that gets a little bit overlooked. Right now, if they win in the battle, you got Ifeatu Malifonwu and Kirby Joseph as your starters. And your backup is an undrafted free agent from last year, Brandon Joseph. So they need help there. A guy like Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. Cole Bishop out of Utah, a guy that I really like, fits a lot. A late round guy, Trey Taylor, was the Jim Thorpe winner, and I voted for him, so I got to disclose that. Out of Air Force, Jim Thorpe winner is the best safety in the country. Ridiculous athlete. He played at Air Force, though. Nobody knows what he can do. I like him in like the sixth or the seventh round. That's a guy to keep an eye on late in the draft. He can play, and the Lions have looked at him. So, you know, they're touching all their bases on that. You know, pass rushers, if it's not Darius Robinson at 29, or, you know, if somehow Lasu falls, I'm not really interested in the pass rushing group that's on around that. I'm waiting for the next day. And you get guys like Chris Braswell, Austin Booker out of Kansas. Braswell's from Alabama. You know, there's guys that have some flaws, but they're not going to be any better than what Josh Pascal is for you. And I don't necessarily see a need to keep building that level up if you're not getting somebody who's definitively going to start over those guys. I don't see a big point in taking one other than just to build your depth. So, I mean, there's guys to consider. I'm blanking on his name. Michael Hall from Ohio State is an interesting one because he's in that weight range. Really good, like, interior pass rusher at Ohio State, but he's not big enough to do it in the NFL, so you can see him moving like John Kaminsky does, like Josh Pascal does in the 270-285 range, being an attack dog, and that's a guy that you got to look at in, like, the second or third round. I know that a lot of people are like, Ohio State, no! Stay away! I just remind you that Taylor Decker went there, and he's pretty darn well.
And Spielman went there and was a really good line and doing well in the front office.
One of the things that I love is, as you know, I grew up in Ohio State, in an Ohio State family. My Ohio State jersey that I have is a Chris Spielman one, and I can wear it out in public here in Michigan, and people will respect it. And that to me explains the power of Chris Spielman and why we love him.
All right, before I let you go, final thought on the Lions at pick 29. Who will it be in downtown Detroit on Thursday night if they stay in the first round or move up on April 25th? Who will that pick be for the Lions?
If you ask me today, and you are, I say it's Darius Robinson, the defensive end from Missouri. But subject to change.
All right, Jeff Risden, Lions Wire, Draft Wire. Follow both on Facebook, Twitter, online. Lions Wire, Draft Wire, part of the USA Today Network. Good stuff as always, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on to talk draft, man. I can do this all day.
Yeah, at Jeff, RISDON. That's at Jeff Risden on Twitter, Lions Wire. DraftWire also on Twitter.
Everything huge 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here with a special thank you to three of our partners who are helping bring the 313 NFL Draft Party on Thursday, April 25th to life in downtown Detroit. Josh Garvey and the team at Dorn Mayhew, one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Josh is a great man, and that company is doing great things. Josh heads up the GR office. Also, Matt Golden, the CEO of the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. They're set to open up both courses at the end of the month, and you can book a stay and play package. Or if you want to take care of business and mix in a little pleasure on the golf course, great food, beverages, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay and play package or schedule your next event less than an hour north of GR. And also to the team at Coppercraft Distillery. They're the home of Honolulu Blue. If you're a Lions fan, you need to be drinking Honolulu Blue. Thanks for your help with the 313 Draft Party.
Hey, Michigan, let's go big. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking real big-time winning on the hottest slots and table games on one incredible app, Eagle Casino and Sports.
Sign up now and get up to $1,500. That's right. We'll match your deposit for up to $1,500, and you'll get 100 free spins.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older and in Michigan to play.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We'll talk about Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. The fun governor, Tim McCullough, is standing by. How you doing, Timmy?
Man, I'm living the dream. I'm 43rd year in gaming anniversary right here at Soaring Eagle. That's impressive in any stack category, if you ask me. So 3 to 9 p.m., we're celebrating in April, Fridays. You can win your share of over $70,000 in cash and premium play. So make sure you come out and be part of that. At 10 p.m., one lucky winner will receive $4,300 in cash. And additionally, at 10 p.m. on August 26th, a lucky Players Club member will receive a grand prize of $43,000 in cash. So make sure you come out Fridays here at Soaring Eagle and get some of that cash. I'm trying to give it away. Give it away. Give it away now. And then Saturday's Cadillac giveaway here at Soaring Eagle from 5 to 10 p.m. Two lucky guests will win $1,000 in premium play and 500 grand prize bonus entries every hour. Then in April 27th, at 10 p.m., two lucky winners will drive away with that Cadillac 2024. So make sure you come win a Cadillac. We're giving two of them away. April 27th, that's a date. Put it on your calendar. We'll see everybody here. And then, of course, the shows, Bill. They just keep getting better and better. Of course, our Murder Mystery Zombie Love happening this Thursday in our ballroom. So make sure you come out and be part of Zombie Love. It's a great date night dinner. Murder Mystery. It's a lot of fun. It starts at 8 p.m. And then we have Sticks in the House Friday and Saturday. That's May 3rd and 4th. Two shows, Sticks. So make sure you come on and check that out. Tacos and Tequila, May 11th. If you like Santana, we got a great tribute band for you. All the drinks, all the food. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you get tickets to come on out and be part of that. Motley Crue, June 23rd, outdoors, part of our summer concert series. Miranda Lambert, July 6th, just announced. Miranda Lambert will be in the house. And then Offspring with special guests Simple Plan and Hoobastank, July 26th. Everybody in the car right now is going, Hoobastank! Leonard Skinner, ZZ Top, Sharp Dressed Man, Simple Man Tour, August 9th. Jason Aldean will be in the house August 16th, part of that outdoor summer concert series. Keith Urban with Morgan Wade as special guest, August 24th. Blake Shelton and Chase Beckham, September 7th. Chase Beckham, number one song in country music right now. Tom Segura, August 20th, bringing the funny to our stage. Bare Naked Ladies will be here November 8th. December 20th, Aaron Lewis, we got you covered. We got entertainment, and we love being part of your show, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Tim McCullough, the fun governor. By the way, go to SoaringEagleCasino.com. All the shows, tickets, promotions, giveaways, celebrating the 43rd gaming anniversary. Also book your hotel room and more at SoaringEagleCasino.com. Download that Eagle Casino and Sportsbook app to get in on the action with your favorite games and teams. And also, if you're listening on 100.9 FM, the Mitt in the Midland Bay City, Saginaw area, the Saganine Eagles Landing Casino and Hotel in Standish, Michigan is there for you. Timmy, we'll talk in 7 days.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
Join Tim McCullough, the fun governor from the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Big. Bad. Huge.